There's a story that happened in North Korea less than 50 years ago, just within the last 50 years or so, about a small house church, a small underground house church that was meeting, and that what was meeting against the law there. And one night the officials had found out where they were meeting and came in and busted down the door, armed men. And they began to arrest and to take away these house church members, but they decided they had one copy of the Bible, an illegal copy of the Bible in North Korea there. And they said, "We won't kill you." They said, "We won't kill you if you will spit on the Bible and disown your God. We will allow you to go free. Otherwise, we will execute you here. And now." And of course, they became very upset. They began crying. I mean, they just became extremely distraught. Adults, women, teenagers, they all became very distraught and emotional. And I mean, what do they do? What happens? What should they do? And so the officials made them all kneel down in front of them and pass the Bible down the road, to spit on the Bible, to disown their faith, their religion, they'd be allowed to go free. And so one by one, they did. Adults, men, women, some of them so upset, so distraught that they couldn't even hardly muster enough saliva to even spit. They just did the best they could. And God said, "All right, good enough." And they were allowed them to leave. They got down the line to one teenage girl. She was quietly sobbing, quietly crying on her knees. The officials kicked the Bible over to her. Said, "Spit on it. Disown your God." She picked up the dusty, spit on Bible, dirty Bible. She took the bottom of her dress and she wiped off the spit and the dirt and the mud. And just gently said, "Oh, Father, what have they done to your word?" And with that, they put the gun to her head and pulled the trigger. I wish this story was unique. I wish this was the only story like this, but it's not. It's a remarkable thing, really, that we have Bibles that we can read personally whenever we want without the fear of someone coming in and killing us for it. It's easy to think or to assume that the Bible has always existed in the English language and always existed in every language around the world. But if you study history, even the English Bible was translated just 500 years ago, 1,500 years after the last letter was written in it. For most of the church history, and still today, many places around the world, Christians do not have their own personal copy of the Bible. Legal or illegal copy. They just don't have it. Some don't have a Bible simply because it doesn't exist in their language. 57% of the world's languages do not have a copy of the Bible. So there's 6,901, almost 7,000 different languages, and of those, 31% don't even have a translation started in their language. 31% of those almost 7,000 languages. 26% have part of it started, but not all of it. And so that leaves just 43% of the world's languages have the Bible in their language. We just have to be one of them. That's not even half. Some languages that do have the Bible, it's illegal, like I just talked about, to have that Bible. According to Open Doors USA, up to three generations. So, up to three generations. So your parents, you, and your kids could be thrown in jail and or executed in North Korea if just one of somebody in your family is found with a Bible. Just one. So terror groups across the Middle East and increasingly in parts of Africa target Christians and target people with a Bible who believe in the Bible for torture or death. Yet many Christians living under unimaginable oppression continue to risk their freedom, risk their lives in order to have access to God's words, even just a portion of it. At places like the American Bible Society, there are stories from all around the world of people who are literally dying for access to the Bible. And this is hard maybe for us to grasp, for us to wrap our minds around, because we can pull it up on our phone anytime we want. Because we can just get up and just walk to the back of the room and there's a stack of them back there. We can read it whenever we want. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm not saying we shouldn't have that. I'm not saying that we are bad people for having that. I'm just saying that sometimes we just don't understand that the rest of the world isn't like that. That we're in the 43%. There's 57% that's not like that. And so we're outside of the norm. So what we're talking about today, what we're launching toward today with our series launch, is launching towards growth, spiritual growth. And that spiritual growth is found in God's Scripture. One of the most important things you can do for yourself is regularly read the Bible for yourself. One of the most important things you can do is read the Bible for yourself. Reading your own copy of the Bible daily is not a law that you have to do. It's not a have to. It's a get to. Because most Christians haven't had this option. Even the Christians back in Bible times, they didn't have the option to read their own copy of Scripture. They listened to it. But daily Bible reading is an extraordinary means of God's grace. And so why miss out on this grace? Why miss out on this blessing? Sometimes I like to think, I like to daydream about what's going to be like in heaven. I mean, what's it going to be like to run into guys like Moses and Abraham and Paul and just have a conversation with them? I mean, like I've kind of got a running list of questions of like what I'm going to ask Moses, right, when we get there. And it's like, Moses, man, what was it like? Just like the Red Sea. It's so cool. Like, what was it like to then see the chariots, like, right, and the water comes back on top of them? Like, how cool is that? And ask Moses some of these things. It'd be so such cool stories. But sometimes I get lost and I get to thinking about, what's Moses going to ask me? And something I think he'll ask me is, what was it like to have God's word in your hand? What was it like just to be able to open up God's living word anytime you wanted and just read it? To have access to it in different translations on your phone, just like that. What was that like? It must have been amazing. Like, that's what Moses maybe will ask me, will ask us. Because it's an amazing, amazing book that we have. And it's not just any book. And I'm not just talking about any Bible this morning. When I talk about the Bible, when I talk about the Holy Word of God, I'm not talking about some of the other Bibles that are out there that exist, the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormon, the Quran. Those have bits of the Bible, but they're morphed. They've been changed. They've been added to. The meaning has been changed very drastically. And at some point, we'll probably do a series on that. At some point, we'll look at that and compare some of that stuff. But I'm talking this morning about God's holy word. His words to us. One of the greatest miracles God performs on a regular basis is that of a changed life. To see someone who is in darkness, who is tore up, who is going down the wrong path, and to have a changed life. That is a miracle of God. And every year around the world, untold millions of lives are delivered from afflictions, from self-destructive habits, from emotional wounds. This is in addition to the multitudes that are set free from bondage, who many are living in lying, face lying and stealing and cheating and lashing out in anger and similar types of this, of these type of common sins. Those of us who have been changed, who have experienced this real life, understand what the Bible can do, and we have seen that in our lives. One of God's primary tools for effecting change is through the Bible. What if God's primary way of changing our lives is through the Bible? But what is it about this amazing collection of writings that empowers lives to be changed in such amazing ways? I mean, it's just words, right? What is it that sets it apart from anything else? The key to understanding this power is to grasp that the Bible is the Word of God and not just a collection of cool writings, of cool poems, of good ideas, of good morals, but it is God's Word to man. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 specifically says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching. So it is breathed out by God. For reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So his breath, his word, helps us accomplish what we're to accomplish. Romans 15:4 says, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of Scriptures we might have hope. When a person opens his heart to reading, learning, and studying the Scriptures, he will begin to see himself like God sees him, like they've never seen him before. He will understand his true condition, our true condition, all of ours, that we are sinful before the holy God, and the gift of forgiveness through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He will begin to grasp the power of the Holy Spirit that will enable him to turn from sin and enjoy a life of real great joy and true happiness. It's an amazing book. There's a story of Lori. Lori grew up in an angry family. The only time she ever heard the Lord's name was in vain. From an early age, she was aware of the need that she could not fill. She was depressed and suicidal. When she was 8, her older brother gave her a little green book he had received at school. Intrigued with the little book, she spent many hours looking up topics like depression and topics like fear in the help section of the front of this book. Reading the verses, she found healing for her wounds. She did not realize her little green book was a Gideon New Testament. Throughout her teenage years, she experienced physical, sexual, and emotional abuse. By the time she was 19, she weighed nearly 500 pounds. She was an insomniac and had no peace, was depressed, and had tried to commit suicide twice. On Christmas Eve, Lori was at the end of her rope. It was then she cried out to God to change her life, to make himself known to her. God led her back to the little green book she had read so many times. There she found John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. She also read several other verses she had found in the back of her New Testament showing she was a sinner and needed a Savior. And then found a prayer she could pray. She dropped to her knees and prayed that prayer and accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And from then on, she knew something was different. For the past 15 years, Lori has been a certified biblical counselor, teaching and counseling hundreds, if not thousands, of women who were in the same place she was. She's recently opened a biblical counseling center in her hometown in Tennessee. The Bible changed her life. God's Word changed her life. God is real. His Word is real. And it changes lives every day. It's changed my life because of who the Bible was written about and who it was written by. John 5:37. Jesus said, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and that's that they bear witness about me." So basically, Jesus was saying, you read the Scriptures, but they don't save you because the Scriptures point to me and only I can save. And so reading the Bible won't save you. You could read it twice a day, every day, and that's not your ticket to heaven. But reading the Bible will point you to Jesus, the one who can save. The one who can save. So many of us are hurting. So much of our world is in pain. So much of us don't know where to turn. So much of us need hope. need peace, need something, and you look everywhere for it. You look for it in relationships. You look for it in drugs. You look for it in websites. You look for it in grades. You look for it in appearances. You look for it all over the place, in approval, in disobedience, in whatever. When will you begin to look in the Word of God for that hope, for that peace, for that direction that you desire so much in your life? You've done it your way for so long. When will you try it God's way? Some of you may be saying, okay, fine, great, let's do it, God's Word, but where do I start? Or maybe some of you are saying, I've done it, I've tried it before, and I get nothing. I mean, I read it, nothing. So some of you may say, well, it's just too hard. I don't like to read. I can't do it. So this morning, we're going to look at five simple things to help you get more from your Bible reading, to help jumpstart it, whether you're starting it fresh, whether you've been there before, wherever you're at, five things to help as you read God's Word for yourself and to apply it to your life. All right, first one, change it up. I mean, just change it up. Do something different. So if you're in a rut, change it up. And one of the best ways to change it up is to listen to the Bible, right? I mean, your phones, the apps, almost all of them have it nowadays. You can go online, wherever, and listen to the Bible being read to you. Have someone else read it to you, right? May have like a little brother or sister read it to you. That'd be fun, right? But listen to the Bible. I listened to the entire book of Joshua just a couple of weeks ago, just over a week or two, just while I was getting ready in the morning. I mean, so many, right? Like, there's like waterproof Bluetooth speakers, right? They're like $10. Grab one of those. Stick it in the shower. Play it on your... Don't take your device into the shower. But have that speaker in the shower playing, hooked through Bluetooth, right? And listen to the Bible. I mean, I think I did the math. I think like if you take like a 15-minute shower, you can listen to the Bible in less than a year, in like 10 months. Okay? Just listening to it. So change it up. So if you're in a rut, change it up. Do something else. Try a different translation. Try a different time of day. If you're like falling asleep in the morning at 5 a.m. trying to read your Bible, change it up. Pull it out on the bus. Pull it out during free time. I mean, something like that. Just change it up. It'll help you out a lot. I've got to change it up too. Number two, don't jump around. Don't just jump around your Bible. Don't jump from like Psalms, then Leviticus, and then John. Okay, don't. I mean, it's just confusing. It is a story. It's a narrative. And so read it in large chunks. You don't have to start at the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. You don't have to necessarily start there, but read it in large chunks. Okay? And very rarely does this thing work. Okay, that's not real helpful. I mean, sometimes, but not really. Okay? So read it like that. Read it like the story it is. Some of the stuff is poems. Read it like a poem. Some of it's a narrative and a story. Read it like a good story. There's great stories, right? When I was listening to Judges the other day, it was like awesome when I read about the prophet who stabbed the fat king who was so fat the knife disappeared into his belly fat. Have you read that before? See? So yeah, so don't just like, and if you're just doing like this blindfold, boop, what? Okay, that'd be strange, but you read it like a story, and it's really cool. Okay, so read it like that. Read chunks at a time. Don't jump around. Number three, Pastor Rick Warren in California was once asked, what is the best Bible translation? What's the best translation out there? And he responded, when you translate it into your life. That's what reading the Bible is all about. If you're not translating God's Word into your life, you're not studying the Bible the way it was intended. And we'll talk more about that here in a little bit with an activity. But think of the Bible, think of your time in the Bible as a savings account. It's an investment for the future. It's not just something that you pull on today. It's not just something that you go to what you need for today. Yes, it can help you for today. But think of it as an investment for the future, something that will be there down the road. I can't tell you how many times I've studied something, I've looked at something, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Okay, yeah, I kind of learned something. But it didn't like necessarily rock my world until 6 months, a year, 5 years later, when I faced something difficult, when I need something, when I need that word of encouragement, I go back and I say, oh, that's right. I remember looking at this. Oh, that's huge. And it changes my life because I studied 6 months ago, because I studied it a year ago. And this is not new, though, right? I mean, this type of investment is not new. Athletes do it all the time, right? I mean, so football season's about to start, right? I got my fantasy football draft tonight. I'm pumped. Okay, it's gonna be awesome. But football starts, right? And these guys have been training all off season, been working hard. But what have they been training for? Day one, opening day. I mean, kind of. They've kind of been working towards that. But if you really talk to them, if you listen to them in the locker room, they're talking playoffs. Right? They're saying, we're working towards the playoffs. We're working towards the Super Bowl. Not just so we can be strong on day one, but so that we can have the little extra left that it takes to win in the fourth quarter that playoff game. To score that game-winning touchdown. That's what they're working towards. That's what they're working on. That's like 10 months from now. And they have that kind of insight, that kind of investment. So read the Bible as an investment for your future. What if you guys studied something this week that changed your life in 2 years? It's an investment. It's a big deal. And so don't look at it as just a magic formula for today. All right, number four. Get accountable. Help out. Read with a friend. Read with a group. Get in a life group. Those are back there. Sign up for those. Get in a life group. Encourage somebody else to read with you. Say, hey, I'm going to read through John. You want to read through John with me? And encourage each other in that. There's apps now, a lot of the Bible apps now. You can sync other people's accounts with yours. And so then you can invite them to read through a book of the Bible with you. Say, hey, let's read through the book of James together. And then you can see when they read it and when they don't. And you could just encourage them and say, hey, I read James chapter 2 today. It was awesome. Did you get a chance to read it? And you just text them. It's so easy. So get accountable. Find somebody to read the Bible with through to say, hey, this was really strange. Or to say, hey, did you read about where that knife disappeared into the fat guy? That was so cool. Right? And you can say that. You can call them up and say, and they're like, yeah, I read that. And you can share that. So get accountable. Find someone else to do it with. I've told the college group several times recently. I'm going to tell you guys, and this will just blow your mind when I say it. Okay? Nothing in this world happens until you make it happen. Okay? Boom! See? I just blew you up. Okay? Nothing in this world happens until you make it happen. You're like, duh, right? Okay? But think about it. How often do we sit around going, man, I wish I had somebody I could read the Bible with. I wish somebody would invite me to read the Bible with them. I wish somebody would invite me to life group. I wish somebody would share with my friends about Jesus. I wish somebody would invite my friends to church. It doesn't happen until we make it happen. So you may not have a friend to read the Bible with until you ask that friend to read the Bible with you. So make it happen. It doesn't happen until you make it happen. So get accountable. Start with that. Number five. Last one, dump the guilt, okay? Dump the guilt. Don't feel guilty. So, and again, don't start off going, all right, I'm going to read the entire Bible in 2 weeks, okay? I mean, that's great. Maybe you will. I'm not saying you won't. But if you miss a day or you read it in 2 weeks and 3 days, don't, like, beat yourself up and think you're a horrible person. I mean, sometimes it's hard. Like dump the guilt. Guilt is a lie from Satan when it comes to reading your Bible. And so don't feel guilty about it just because you missed a day. Just because whatever. Just pick up where you left off. Catch up. I've had to do that several times with my readings. Just catch up. And make up for where I was. Or just pick up where I left off. So don't feel guilty, because what we like to do is go, all right, I'm gonna be really good this week. I'm gonna read every day. And we're good Monday. We're good Tuesday, we miss a day Wednesday, we feel terrible, and so we don't do it the rest of the week. We're like, forget it, done. And we just feel guilty, right? So don't do that. Dump the guilt. Just pick up on Thursday. Be like, man, sorry, dude, yesterday, start right where you left off. Dump the guilt. Or Friday, if you miss Wednesday and Thursday, pick up on Friday, whatever it takes. Because it's important. It's important to be able to read God's word for yourself, to read how God can change our lives. Can you imagine? Again, I can go back to the circle graph and all that stuff. Can you imagine hearing God's word, believing in your heart that Christ died, that He died to save your sins, and everything that He did for you, that you heard that, that someone told you about that, but that you couldn't pick it up and read it for yourself because it wasn't in your language? Could you imagine not being able to read John 3:16 for yourself? Not being able to read about Mary and Peter and John running to the empty tomb. Not being able to read it just because it's not available in your language. Again, that's the reality for so much of our world. They just don't have it in their language. That's something that people and missionaries around the world are looking to change, are working on changing. We've got a short video here about a tribe who just recently got their copies of the Bible in their language and how excited they were to be able to hold the Bible in their words and to be able to read it for themselves and not just have someone tell them about it. And so check out this video about this tribe getting these Bibles just a few short years ago. It's interesting to see that perspective, right? I mean, how wild and excited do we get about having God's Word at our fingertips? And did you catch that they're not even getting the whole Bible? They were just getting the New Testament, Matthew through Revelation. They didn't even have the Old Testament yet. And they were that excited to be able to read God's Word for themselves because they know and they understand how reading God's Word launches and leads towards growth. So many of you went to Super Summer and heard Runk speak, and one of the last things Runk said was to read your Bible, right? Read your Bible. And he used the illustration of us not liking to read, right? And how much of a myth that is. Because we read text messages every day, right? We read messages on our phone every day, all the time. And how that is reading. And so I did a little bit of math. I tried to kind of figure it out. And kind of went through some things. So there is roughly 3.5 million letters, individual letters in the Bible. Okay? So if you take those and put them into 140 character text messages, which I know you guys don't text always at 140 characters, sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less, all that kind of stuff. But if you just take that average, whatever, you know, it's kind of like a tweet. If you take that average, okay, and average it out, you can read through the Bible in that way in 7 months and 3 weeks. At the same pace, you read text messages, which according to study is on average 3,339 text messages a month. Okay? So on girls, it's a little bit more. Guys, it's a little bit less per month. But on average, that's what it is. So if you're reading 3,400 text messages a month, you could read through the Bible in 7 months. Okay, so that again, that's just how real and how simple it is. And again, if you just take your TV time for 1 month, the time that the average person spends, take your TV time for 1 month, you could read through the Bible in 1 month. Or listen to the Bible in 1 month. It only takes about 70 hours to listen to the Bible. It doesn't necessarily seem like a lot, but you kind of start thinking about it, and it's not really that much. There's some time in there to give. Especially when you start thinking about it like this, okay? Did a little bit of research on books and stuff we like to read, right? Some of us like to read books. Hunger Games trilogy has a little over 300,000 words. Lord of the Rings is 481,000 words. Bible has 783,000. And if you've read all the Harry Potters, over 1 million words. Okay? Man, how fast do we fly through some of those books? Right? A weekend, Hunger Games trilogy gone, right? Divergent trilogy gone, right? Okay? And we read through these, and the Bible's right there. The Bible's not much more, and sometimes it's actually less. And so it can be done. So this excuse of, I don't have time to read, I can't read, I don't like to read, when will I read? Like that just doesn't work. Find a time. Use some of those five tips that we just talked about to change it up, to get accountable, to do it with somebody. Because it's not going to happen until you make it happen. Crazy, I know. But it's not going to happen until you make it happen. So Pastor Ryan's going to come and share here momentarily after I pray on some great ways to do that. And we're going to help you experience some of that around the room of just simply using your hand to help pray, to help read through, to memorize, to meditate with the Bible on that. So let's pray, and we'll do that. Father, thank you so much that we have your word, God, that you have blessed us in the English language with your word to be able to read and to write, God. Help us not to take it for granted that we have your mighty, powerful word at our fingertips. That we don't have to wonder what you said or what you taught, that we can just pick it up anytime we want and read it. So help us to take that seriously this week, Father. And to know and to understand and to grasp that it's not going to happen until we make it happen, God. And that it be that important that maybe we give up a little bit of TV time, we give up a little bit of recreational reading time, or heaven forbid, we put down the phone and read your word a little bit. All with the knowledge and the fact that it can and will transform our lives from the inside out, God. We ask for that, we pray for that. We expect that, God. May these students grasp that as well, Lord. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.